just appreciate Mike sharing that about the weather thing, which sometimes is just a challenge because we don't know exactly. We just keep watching it. We start the night before, the morning of, just trying to make sure. So please go on your on the prayer chain for that. And if you don't, or as he said, if you're not on that, then just let Dan and Lisa know your phone number so we know who to call. Dan and Lisa are not here today because they're both sick. So anyway, there's so much illness going around. I wanted to just mention one other thing. Mike had so much on his plate, I didn't want to add any more. But in the Emmaus courses, as you know, in the fellowship room, there are books available from the Emmaus ministry. Diane Kearney works that ministry for us, and we're very thankful for that. But if you take one of these books, at the top of it, you'll see there's an amount that it cost. And then if in order to help pay for that, if you just put the payment in the offering box, as you know, in the foyer, with envelope marked Emmaus. And that way we know that's taken care of. And it just takes a weight of burden there. And we're just trying to help Diane out as well. That's part of the reason to do that. And so just so that we kind of help minister where it's ministered to. If you can't do that, we understand that. We're not trying to gouge anybody, but to be sensitive and to allow that ministry to continue. It's a way to be equipped. It's a way to be discipled, to use those tools. So there's some good tools there for us. And I just encourage you to use those as the Lord leads. I'm just trying to make sure I don't miss anything here. We do want to pray, especially for Jim's niece, Jenna, who's having a procedure in just a Lord, if it goes as scheduled at noon. And as you know, she's been very, very sick, a lot of pain, and they're having a procedure for her at noon, Lord willing. So pray for her today. And then also, I wanted to mention Yvonne Shepherd. She's having a procedure tomorrow. And so pray for Yvonne. Her blood count is extremely low. She's been losing some blood. She really needs our prayer. So pray for Yvonne. And also I wanted to mention Matthew. We haven't mentioned this, but Matthew Sargent, as many of you know Matthew, Ron's son, he's had double pneumonia. Now Ron was telling me this morning he's doing better. So pray for Matthew that he'll completely recover. And also, there's so many on our list, right? But Janice was doing a little bit better, and as already mentioned, she's not doing so well. She's a little bit better today, but yesterday was a bad day. So she's got a long, long ways to go. And Doug, it was amazing to me. I saw him one day. He was totally out of it. On Friday, he was doing better. So just pray for Doug. Someone was saying it's been 7 years he's been battling cancer. So pray for Doug. Just, dear me, what about, he's gone through so much. So pray for him and his children. And Dawn especially, and all her caregiving for Doug. You know, just his wife has been so faithful to just hang in there and be so steady. But pray for his children. And it seemed like there was one other thing I wanted to mention. Did anybody else, did I say it? I said to several people, if I don't say it, you tell me, raise your hand. There's lots of needs, right? Lots of people struggling physically, and we just want to be, this is one of the best things is for us to pray for them. Dawn. Yes. Hilda is... of everybody in the hospital, Hilda's the best right at the moment. and she broke her hip, as you know. She is kind of, they're trying to think exactly what they're going to do. And I think she'll go probably into at least a temporary care situation. But pray for Hilda. She's such a dear soul and such a positive spirit. But pray for her that the Lord will give, I think right now, wisdom to where to go. Where to be, because she really, I don't think she's at a point where she can go home yet with trying to recover from the broken hip. So thank you, Dawn. Okay. Well, we could probably just pray and go home, but I'm not going to let you do that, okay? That would be fudging. Okay. So, but tonight we don't have service. If you know somebody that's not here, would you please call them if you think they might come tonight? So it just sounds like it's the chances of having a really bad night are high, and we don't want anybody to get hurt needlessly by being out, okay? Let's pray. God, we just thank you that we can come to you. We live in a broken world, and we live in a world that invaded by sin, and it has caused all kinds of health havoc. And Christians, as well as non-Christians, are impacted by this. But as a family in Christ, as those we know, we want to lift them up in love. We pray for Hilda that you'll give wisdom where she should go. We thank you that she's doing so much better, but we pray for continued progress. We think of our dear sister Janice, who is struggling so much. We just pray for real, real help for our dear sister. Just allow her to heal. We know she's had a serious infection, and we just pray that you'll clear that up. And I want to pray for Hazel, because I know she's given so much time at the hospital for her sister. And for the others who just have loved and cared for her, we just pray for all of them. Father, we pray for Jenna, who's having this procedure this morning, Lord willing. We pray that she will get the procedure, and we pray that it would really meet her need. We know she's in a lot of pain and really struggling, and we entrust her to you. Father, we think of Matthew with his double pneumonia. We thank you that he is healing. We pray that he'll continue to recover, and just bless him and his family. And we pray for Yvonne. Again, a dear sister, we just pray that this procedure tomorrow will really help her, and she'll be able to make recovery. Father, there's so many other people that are battling. We think of Bernie. We just pray that he'll be able to, you'll just work out the future for him. Where's the best spot? We know he's coming home. We pray that that would work if it be your will. And Father, we just think of so many dear ones who are just hurting and exhausted. We just want to entrust each of them. We think of Doug. We just, again, such a long, long battle. And so many others that some even in our group this morning are battling, and we just pray blessing upon them. Father, we're a needy group. We need you every hour, as the song says. And we just pray that by your grace and your kindness, you'll work in these moments, that the Spirit of God would work through your word to accomplish your design and your desire for each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. I was reminded as I was sitting there, I was trying to think how to start today. It came to my mind, a young friend of mine, I've mentioned him in the past. It was all years back when we were in Dodge City. And I mentioned Vic. He came in one Wednesday night. He and his brother came in to our service. And it was at the end of service, and they just came in and sat down, and we just got to visit with them. And their life was so, both of their lives, their families, was just a disaster, just an absolute disaster. And their mother had been murdered right in front of their eyes when they were just little kids. Just that was just one thing. Dad was an alcoholic. Just a string of sadness. And the brother, and I've mentioned this in the past, but the brother was on his way to do time because of his illegal activities. And Vic was sitting there, and we sat there that night, and we just had the opportunity to go through the gospel and share them that Christ loved them, Christ died for them. and he could save them. And they were both were respectful, but just like two homeless guys walking off the street, right? Well, the brother that was going to jail, he didn't make any decision that night. But Vic decided to trust the Lord Jesus as his Savior. That was a wonderful moment. Just a wonderful moment. But that was just the beginning of a journey. And I don't even remember all the details, but his life was so mixed up. And he ended up, for a time, we had a basement, and we just let him live in our basement for a little while. He moved in, and we had a great friendship, but it was so much confusion. And he was actually married, but that was just, it was just such a disaster. The whole thing was a mess. I remember the day Vic came home. He'd been out driving. He was just so agitated, just so over the top. He said that his wife was filing for divorce. And he just couldn't handle that. And he had been on one of the main roads. This was in Dodge City, I guess you can imagine. In Dodge City, one of the main roads going out of town, and he told me he'd been driving over 100 miles an hour in the city. And when he came in, and you know, he just sat down, and his whole life was just like, here he's a Christian, but he's just so distraught. So distraught. And you think, you ever been really distraught? You know, maybe you're just sitting in a chair and your head's down, you're almost shaking. And you're thinking, oh, what's the use, right? Just want to give up. You know, in some ways, Paul had come to a point where if we were there, he might have told us this story in the same position. He might have said, I can't believe this. I can't take this. And he said, oh, wretched man that I am. He did not say that with, have a nice day. This was a disaster in his life. Now, I don't know if you've been there. I mean, I think you can get there different ways. Sometimes it's through some tragic moment that's happened, like with Vic. A whole series of tragedies. Maybe it's what you've seen as you looked at yourself and you think, oh, how could I have ever done that? Now Paul is sharing something with us, not because he's trying to look down on us, but because he's trying to enter in to our pain. He enters in. Now let's go, I know we've been there, let's go back, Romans 7. Because he has something. If you haven't been here, and you know the Lord Jesus, and you're going along, let me tell you, you're going to hit this wall sometime. I don't think any of us are exempt. Now let's read these words. Or let me just say this as I start this. He was confused about it. The issue of what's going on inside, and now he's totally distraught. Let me just read verse 21 of Romans 7. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good, for I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man. But I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. Wretched man that I am. This, something was desperately wrong inside. I don't know if you've made this discovery, but notice what Paul says. I find then, he had this insight, and the one he never wanted to see. I find then, he draws this conclusion, and in the version I'm reading, the principle, there's a principle. I find then the principle. Actually, in your version, it may be translated law. And the idea is, this is not an occasional thing. This is an ongoing principle. It's a problem that will not give up. It's like gravity. You know, I mean, I didn't go up, right? You think, oh, I'd like to, right? I don't know if you saw this, but maybe a month ago, this young girl is a mountain climber, apparently. And apparently she was mountain climbing all by herself. I didn't know all the backdrop of the story. But she lost her footing, and she lost her life, right? Gravity. There's a principle. You jump off, or you fall off a cliff, you come down. And Paul had come down, and he continued to come down. He was continuing to fall from the level of expectation he had for himself and that God wanted in his life. It was a relentless principle. Now, again, I'm not sure we see this as a problem. One difference between us and Paul, I think for many of us, is that Paul had this intense passion to please the Lord. How many of us have an intense passion to please the Lord? You know, you got to think, some days, you know, we just kind of wimp out. Oh, this is too much. This is too hard. And we kind of want to bail. But Paul had this intense love for the Lord and passion for the Lord, and he wanted to do the will of the Lord. And if you get in that spot and you say, well, you know, that's got to be great. I mean, we want people who are committed, and that's awesome. God wants us to be committed. But if we don't know how God has designed things, we end up falling off the mountain of living the Christian life. And it ends up to be a disaster. That, notice what he discovers. Now again, I think at different age, and this may not seem very relevant to you. I think one of the things that we struggle with in our culture, we've so lowered the standard in our culture that, you know, whatever. You know, God's all right with that. But God's holy. God is, he is awesome and he is perfect. And God did not design the Christian life just to be lollygagged along. Now, he wants us to have joy. Whoa, is that me? Am I empowered? I'm the only one, huh? Okay. My hearing is so bad, I can't hardly tell what's happening, but I'm getting a lot of feedback, right? What was that? Is it coming from the mic? Okay, I'll go on. If you leave early, I'll understand. Okay. Paul's saying, I am battling this thing. I have an intensity to honor the Lord. I want to honor the Lord, but I'm battling. He says, the evil is present in me. Evil is present in me. Now, again, I think this is a struggle that we all need to come to. But maybe if I stay way back here, okay? Just want, you know, you feel like the altar call, but you shouldn't go, right? Okay. Where did that come from? I have not a clue. Okay. Whoa, I'm really feeling boxed in here, okay? Okay. Now, this is a mirror. Now, when I look at this thing and I look at me, that's not the way I remember me looking, right? I said to Marty one time, I think of myself about 30, 35. That's when things were still working, you know? And it wasn't near as bad as it looks. I'm sorry for you to have to look at this, right? You know, we're falling apart up here. But you look at yourself, you look at yourself. Now, just, we talked about this last week. But have you really taken a look at yourself? Not so much, obviously, how your hair is combed or not there. But anyway, it's what's in your heart. Have you taken a look at what's in your heart? You see, what God wants us to be honest. I think it's so easy in our culture that's kind of minimized everything to really not be honest with where we're really at, how we're struggling, how we're not making it the way we want to be. You know, you think of being a parent. Well, none of us who have been parents want to end life and say, well, you know, I'm glad I blew that thing. God wants us to be able to honor him with our life. And then when we're looking back in the rearview mirror, we don't have these tons of regret. Now, we're all going to have some regret because none of us are perfect. But we want to make progress so that we don't have tons of regret. Looking back down the road and saying, whoa, why did I do that? Why did I stay stuck? You know, you don't want to get to the end of life and you think, oh man, what a write-off my life was. And Paul and God through Paul is trying to spare us from that. Now notice, the one who wants to do good, he says, I find this principle, but that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. Now, you know what? I don't think anyone here says, how can I ruin my life? How can I ruin the life of the people around me? I don't care if I end up in prison. None of us saying that. But Paul is making this discovery. The one who wants to do good, I keep messing up. Notice, for... And he says, this is where we see that God has worked in his life. He's a Christian. I joyfully concur with the law of God. I joyfully concur. One version says, I delight in the law of God. Now, the law of God. He's been talking a lot about the Old Testament law, the Mosaic law. It's interesting when we get to this concept. He's said law, 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 law. Now he comes and he says the law of God. I think there's a distinction here that when he talks about the law of God in this portion, he expands it to, it's not just the Mosaic law, but the way the phrasing is used, it works and expands to the will of God. It's broader than just the Mosaic law at this point. When we look at God's law, it's used in different ways. God's law, we could say God's eternal law has been forever because God is who he is, his character is who he is, and his principles are never inconsistent with his character. So there have been principles throughout all time that are God's will throughout time, but in different dispensations or different economies, as we could refer to them, that will look a little different depending on what revelation they have, what ability they have to comprehend. So in the Old Testament, they had a unique system. We call it the Mosaic Law. But there was even law before the Old Testament. Remember back, and I'll just give you a verse. This is Job was before that time, and Job states in Job 22, verse 22, please receive instruction from his mouth, from God's mouth. God's instruction and establish his words in your heart. God with his people, he's always had principles to live by. In different economies, they've been stated, maybe sometimes in unique ways, specific things. Obviously, the Mosaic Law was wrapped around the children of Israel and their system of laws and requirements and sacrifices. But then we come into the New Testament, and God, we're not under the Old Testament law, but there's still God's will. And Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians 9, and he says this, and he's talking about witnessing to people. He says to the Jews, 1 Corinthians 9:20, to the Jews I became a Jew, so that I might win Jews, to those who are under the law, as under the law, though not myself under the law. He says, I'm not under the law. Now, some of my Jewish friends, they haven't figured it out yet. They're still living under the old system. Then he goes on down and says in verse 21, to those who are without law, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ. And so, Paul, you know, we're under the law of Christ. And when we come to this passage, we're talking about Paul so desperately wanted to live consistent with God's will, the law of God. And when we receive Christ, we have a new capacity. And with that new capacity, a new nature, there's something in you that desires to do God's will that you didn't have before you were a Christian. There's some capacity, some desire, some nudge to do what God wants you to do. That's just part of being a new creation in Christ. But that sets up a struggle. That sets up this battle. We've talked about this. Because you still have a capacity within you for evil. And a lot of dear Christians, and you know, going back to my dear friend Vic, it was so confusing. Because he had a sin capacity that had so become so strong because of his heritage. And all of the things in his extended family and all of the disasters, it was just a drug family. And so here he gets saved. He truly knows the Lord Jesus as his Savior. But this evil capacity is still within. He wants to do the right thing. He wants to break free. But it's so hard. And Paul said, I want to break free. Not the same sins, but the same problem. And he says, notice what we read again. In Romans 7:22, for I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man. This new nature that dwells within us. We're a new creation. We have this new desire. I think of this passage, and it uses the same phrase in Ephesians 3:16. It says, that he would grant you, God would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. In the inner man. And that's what we want, isn't it? We want to know how to live effectively, even though we got this battle within. Notice what Paul says in verse 23. But I see a different law in the members of my body. Notice a different law from what? Well, he has this law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law, a different capacity in the members of my body. He's got this, notice law, it's a relentless principle. We've already seen it before. It's in verse 17 and 20. It says, sin which dwells within. Now, I know we've talked about it. But what Paul is doing, you know, it's like some dear Christians, it's like going back to my friend again, it's like they're just about to drive off the bridge and there's nothing, there's, you know, it's washed out. They're just about to drive off and Paul is trying to flag them down. Stop. God loves you too much to let you go off the edge. He said, I got this thing. And notice how strong it is because he says in verse 23, I see a different law in the members of my body waging war against the law of my mind. Waging war. One puts it this way. The indwelling principle of sin is constantly mounting a military campaign against the new nature, trying to gain victory and control of the believer and his actions. We got this new nature, the law of the mind. We got this new thing. The Spirit of God dwells us. We got a new capacity, a new desire that came with becoming a Christian. That's great. Remember, isn't that so exciting? You know, I just love seeing it when a person becomes a Christian. They're so excited, and that's the way it should be, right? That's the way it should be. You just say, yes! But if you've been a Christian down the road for a while, you realize this is not always going to be smooth sailing, right? You understand that. And so Paul is trying to protect us from getting blindsided and blown away by our sin. He's trying to help us understand the battle within, this waging war. And notice it is so bad, making me a prisoner of the law of sin, a prisoner, a captive. Think of some of these situations we see now, you know, around the world with our technology and being able to see what's going on. Dear people who are taken captive. I mean, it's amazing how many people around the world have become prisoners. And we read it on the news. I can't enter into the full capacity what it means to be illegally put in jail for nothing. But it happens constantly. But we are put in our own jail to sin. And Paul says, I hate it, I hate it, I hate it. But one puts it this way. Sooner or later, the Christian discovers that despite the fact he is a new creation in Christ, he has not the strength to overcome this sin nature that would ruin his life. Now again, I think honesty here is really critical. It will save us heartbreak if we can be honest now. I think it's so easy to deceive ourselves to our own destruction. We have this thing within that is black. It's so harsh. It is so wants the wrong thing for us. It's like the black eye, right? God says, I'm reaching out to you. I want to spare you. I want to save you from that. But just think. Just let's be honest with ourselves. How's your quiet time going? Do you want a quiet time? Most of us want time with the Lord. Most of us. But you know what? It doesn't come easy, right? How's your prayer life? You know what? Do you think Satan wants you to pray? I don't think so. Do you ever think when you say, well, I'm going to get alone with the Lord a little bit. I'm going to spend some time. I'm just going to cut loose from the other stuff. You know what? Isn't it easy how your mind just revs up? And you think about 155 things you need to do? All the things that you never even thought about until it's time to quiet yourself before the Lord and spend time with the Lord. Why? Because we have this thing within. You know, and I said this with our families, but you know, you think of all the broken families. It's just so prevalent in our world. Christian, non-Christian, prevalent. Why is that? Well, you know, no matter what person you have in your family, whether it's wife, you know, husband, kids, none of them got it all together. None of them are perfect. You know, you get the baby, and I remember our youngest son when he was a little baby. It's so wonderful to have a little baby, right? Cute, cute, cute. Problem is, he had colic for 3 months. This is the ugliest baby in the world, right? I can't get any sleep here. What's wrong with this kid? Well, you know what? No matter what family you're in, you got issues, and you're one of them, right? We all bring our stuff to family. What is it saying? It's not just it's their problem. It's our problem. We all got it. We all bring the infection. And God is trying to make us aware so that the infection does not destroy us. Now, I know. I think different seasons of life. This may not be your season yet. You know, things may go, well, I'm happy for you. I really am. But I know there'll come a day when you'll hit the wall. I know it because I've hit the wall more than once. And God's trying to tell us, when you hit the wall, it's not over. And Paul, he's very honest with us. He enters in with us. It's like he sits down in that chair with us beside us, and we're saying, oh, wretched man that I am. And Paul says, I've been there, done that. And God is saying, I'm trying to prepare you for this because it's going to happen. Wretched man that I am. What a wipeout. One puts it this way. All of us are chronically addicted to sin. Think about that. We're chronically addicted to sin. Long after we are saved, our bodies crave that which gave us short-term pleasure and caused long-term anguish. We're addicted to our sin. Wretched man that I am. One states, a heart-rending cry from the depths of despair. Now, Paul is not trying to leave us there, but he's trying to make us aware when we hit the wall, we need to understand what's going on. And that's why he's spent so much time. He spent a lot of time in Romans 7, but he's trying to prepare us so you're not blown away and give up. One has said, imagine a boxer after a 15-round pummeling. With months of training, hype, and dreams of championship glory down the drain, he stands exhausted, demoralized, barely able to see through the swelling around his eyes, and barely able to breathe with a couple of his ribs fractured. And to make matters worse, he must take his place in the middle of the ring to hear his defeat announced to the crowd. That's the way Paul felt. He's beat up. Couldn't hardly see through his spiritual eyes. Who will set me free? Well, you know, the Lord Jesus has made provision to set us free. He brings us to this point not to leave us there, but to point us to the Lord Jesus. To point us to his provision for us. And to point us to the power of the Spirit that can make all this. But we've got to know we desperately need him before we genuinely turn to him. Another friend, he lived in Nova Scotia. Before I met him, he had been a police officer. He's pretty stout, you know, kind of looked like a police officer, right? Somebody you wouldn't want to mess with. But he was also an alcoholic. He knew how to work the system, you know, kind of be an alcoholic, stay on the force. And of course, he lost his marriage. Everything went south. It was a disaster. But he got saved. He got saved. And when I met him, he shared his story with me. The alcoholism, all the problems that he had caused himself. But he had grown. He had found freedom in the Lord Jesus. He's still an alcoholic, but he'd learned how to be victorious in the midst of his battle. And in fact, He had grown and developed, and if I was in a situation where I was trying to help somebody who was struggling with an addiction, I would go to this dear brother, and I would say to him, can you help me help them? And he was such a fine guy. I thank the Lord for him. But you know, he's a great example. He hit the wall. He hit the wall. But he looked to the Lord. He could have easily said, and if he was standing here this morning, he'd say, oh, wretched man that I am. But he didn't stay there. And we come here, and my desire for all of us is that when you hit the wall, realize Paul did. God loves us. He loves you. And he's made preparation. He's going to go on and share more of that. He's already told us a lot about in Romans 6. He's going to tell us a lot more in Romans 8. But he's trying to help us. And he's trying to help us face our issues, our sin issues. So that when we hit the wall, we won't give up. But we'll turn to the Lord and find our sufficiency in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, there might be several here this morning that have hit that wall. And the reality is none of us are exempt, none of us. Some people are here and maybe they haven't even seen their need to trust Christ, and we just ask that you would stir their heart to see they need to trust the Lord Jesus. He's the only answer to our sin problem, our terrible sin against you. But thank you that he paid that price and he wants to save. And Father, for those of us who maybe are just kind of going along on our merry way and kind of oblivious to what you want in our life and your will for our life, and we're just kind of playing the game, God, awaken us that this life was not designed to be lived in our own strength, in our own way, just going merrily along without you. May we not only trust you for salvation, but may we turn to you consistently for the whole journey. And Father, I pray especially for those who have hit the wall and are bleeding inside. I pray that you will comfort them. You will encourage them. You will realize they are not the only one. Paul shares with us. He helps us realize he's been there. He's done that. And so have many of us. But may we put our focus on the Lord Jesus, who alone is the answer to our issue of sin. May we depend on him. May we learn to depend on him more and more. May this be a new day for a new beginning with him in his name.